Again, it's a privilege to be here. And we're going to turn to John chapter 1, both this morning and this afternoon. So hopefully you've got your Bible. There's no point listening to me unless what I'm saying flows from the Word of God. So we will read that in a moment together. As we're turning, let me ask you a number of questions. I want you to think how you would answer this, how people in your community would answer this, how people in the world would answer these questions. First, what's the point of church? As people look in at what's happening here this morning, maybe as you get up and prepare to come here this morning, what's the point of church? Some people would say it's a kind of tradition, it's a culture. Some would say it's a family, it's a place where we belong. What's the point of church? Or a kind of broader question than that, what's the point of Christianity? Now, in our culture, our context, there's many things being claimed to be the point of Christianity. Christianity has been a dividing thing in our culture for many years. What do we think the point of Christianity is? What do the people in our communities think the point of Christianity is? What does the world think the point of Christianity is? And then the third question I want to ask often has a very divergent or different answer to these first two questions. But what is the point of life? What do we think is the reason for who we are and why we're here? What do people, our communities, think the point of life is? Is it about a buzz? Is it about being happy at any cost? Is it about family? Is it about friends? Is it about money? What is the point of life? And often we're going to get a wide range of answers to these questions, aren't we? And yet I want to turn to John this morning, because in John's gospel, he gives a very direct answer. And I think it would be his answer to all three of these questions. In fact, if you want to turn away from John chapter 1 quickly to John chapter 20, John would tell us, why is he writing this book? What's the point? What does he want to get across? John chapter 20, verse 31, he would say, these are written, so his testimony, the message of his book is written, so that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. I think John would tell us that church, Christianity, and indeed life itself is all about Jesus. For it's only in knowing, or John would say believing in Jesus, that we would know that hope and that joy and that life that we all crave. So I want us to turn to John chapter 1 today, because I think if you're anything like us in our context and where we're at the end of a busy summer, maybe in the midst of another crazy year, we might need to be reminded what life is all about. And as we want to know Jesus and therefore make Jesus known, which I love is your slogan for your church, because that's ours too. We want to make Jesus known in Burlattic and beyond. We do that knowing that Jesus is life. And so we're going to look this morning through the first part of John chapter 1 about the theology, if you like, of life in Jesus. Unfortunately, I'm nowhere near as gifted as Kieran. He could do this in 10 minutes, no doubt. I'm going to be slightly longer than that this morning. Hope you've had your coffee. We'll think about the theology of life in Jesus this morning. And this afternoon, we're going to think a little bit of the practice of life in Jesus, what that looks like in our life. And so as we turn to John chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 to 18, and we're going to see this morning that Jesus is the source of life, he's the offer of life, and he's the revelation of life. The source, the offer, and the revelation of life. So let's read together John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. This is God's word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, he gave them the right to be children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not out of natural descent or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him and exclaimed, "This was the one of whom I said, 'The one coming after me ranks ahead of me because he existed before me.' Indeed, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The one and only Son, who is himself God and is at the Father's side, he has revealed him." Amen. This is God's word. Let's pray, and then we'll look at this together. Father, again, we thank you that we can gather here as your people, desperate to hear from you and therefore meet you in your word. And so, Lord, I pray today that your Spirit now would take the words we've just read and speak through me, so we all, in a new and real way, can meet and know Jesus and then live to make him known. Because we ask it for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, these first verses of John are sometimes known as the prologue to John, you know, like the intro, the context. One of the commentators calls it the foyer of John's gospel, which I kind of like. I was telling our church a few weeks ago, it's kind of like the hall to my house. So if I've had anything to do with it, you'll open my front door and you'll see little things from all around my house. Here's my football shoes. I probably left a cup of coffee. I don't drink coffee. Don't know why I said that. A cup of Pepsi Max there. Or, you know, the jammies. Anyway, you look through the door and you see little glimpses of everything, don't you? And even in what we've just read of John, of Jesus, at the start of John, you see a little glimpse of everything he's going to tell us about Jesus. And the first thing he shows us in the first five verses is that Jesus is the source of life. He started, "In the beginning was the Word." And the Word is Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So John is starting us by saying Jesus was there at, indeed, before Genesis 1. Right? Jesus has always existed. He was with God. The word in there is a kind of intimate relational word. So there's an intimate connection between Jesus and God, and yet John would say Jesus was God. So there's kind of a little glimpse of the Trinity here right at the start of John's message, and we'll come back a little bit to that later. But John's point is no one created Jesus. Right? Jesus is eternal. He has always existed. Therefore, Jesus is the one true God. There is no other gods. There's only Jesus. That means Jesus is the sovereign God. He is the ruler. He is the boss. Jesus is the source of life. But then John, in these first five verses, tells us two reasons why he's the source of life. So first we see, verse 3, Jesus is the source of life because he is the creator of life. Verse 3 says, "All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created." He repeats it. He's emphasizing it. So, why is the world here? Is it chance? Just something happened and now we're here? We're an accident, a mistake? Well, John would say no. Our triune God planned it. And then Jesus, the Word, spoke and formed everything that exists. Or sometimes I think about, and this gives you a glimpse into my head, which is a mess. Why is there a speck of dust in a kind of planet a million light years away from here? Because that happens, right? It's a vast universe. There's a planet. There's dust on it. Why is that there? Is that just chance? Is there any reason for that? And John would say, well, that's there because our triune God planned it, and Jesus, the Word, spoke and formed it into being. Massive everything. There's nothing that exists or has been created that he has not created. But maybe the most pertinent way to ask that is, why are you here? Are you an accident, mistake, chance? And John would say, no, our triune God planned you. And Christ knitted you together in your mother's womb. And that's why you're here. Science would tell us that nothing collided with nothing, and out of that came everything. John would say Jesus is the source because he is the creator of life. But then if we look down to verses 4 to 5, he would also tell us that Jesus is the source because he is the light of life. So verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. What John's doing here is using kind of Genesis 1 physical language. So if you went back to Genesis, you'd read God say, let there be light. That was the physical creation of the world, but John is applying that spiritually. So when he talks about Jesus as the light, he's saying that Jesus is the source of joy, of hope. He is abundant life. What people in our world are looking for, what they crave, real life, is in Jesus. So Jesus is physically the source of life because he physically made life. But he is also spiritually a source of life because only in knowing, or John would say, in believing in him, do we know real, abundant life. So no pill, no thrill, no amount of Netflix and chill will ever give us what only Christ alone can give. And yet the fact is, if you look around our world today, it doesn't all feel light in life. Right? We live in darkness a lot of the time. Things are heavy. Things are rough. And the Bible would say that is because we have rejected the light. We want to be the source of our own life. The Bible calls that sin. And sin, the Bible would say, is at the root of all that is broken and dark in this life. That is why there's tears. That's why there's pain. That's why there is death. And the reality is we are all victims of this, aren't we? We all live in a broken world. Think back to your last week. You dealt with the effects of sin in your life, no doubt. You can see ways that we live in a broken world, that things just aren't the way they're meant to be. We're all victims of this, but the Bible would also tell us that we are all guilty of this. John would say we choose the dark. We love the dark. And so there's cosmic darkness in our world. There's darkness that we all feel, the structures, the systems of our world. The shame that many of us have to deal with are imposed on us cosmically. There's darkness. And yet there's also personal darkness. All the little hidden compromises that no one else sees apart from ourselves. All the ways that we choose evil and love the dark. And some of us here have felt that. Even this morning, we've seen those dark clouds encroaching. Maybe that's why we're flapping. Maybe that's why we're falling further into the pit and just trying to put on a happy face. Often life can feel like a sunset, can't it? Things are good. It's the light of day, and then almost suddenly, imperceptibly, it's gone, and we're in the midst of night. And yet John would say that in Jesus, we have the hope that the sun will shine even in the deepest dark. Despite all the darkness that we are victims of and guilty of, if we believe and trust and come to Christ, we know that the darkness will not win. That the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not overcome it. So Jesus is the source because he is the creator of life, and he's the light of life. But then as we move on to these verses, verses 6 to 13, we then see Jesus as the offer of life. And we're introduced to John the Baptist. That's not the John who wrote the book. We're going to see a little bit of John the Baptist later on this afternoon. But John was the last or the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. We're told they are those sent from God in verse 6. And John is set up as the picture of all that came before him. And his job was simply to preach the offer of Jesus. So if you like, he's not Ronaldo, but he's the one who passes him the ball. Although I'm a United fan, and that doesn't really work anymore. Sorry about that. He's not Anthony Joshua. He's the ring announcer. Although if you like boxing, that doesn't really work either. He's not Jay-Z. He's the hype guy. I know nothing about rap. But what we can say is he's not Jesus, but he's simply the preacher who testifies about him. John is mentioned here as a picture that all has come before him. We know some of the big prophecies in Isaiah and Micah. But throughout the Old Testament, they had one message, two parts. Turn back to God but wait, he's coming. Like, repent, turn back, but wait. God is coming to bring the light to the darkness. And John's point here is that Jesus, therefore, is the author of the Old Testament and he is the author of the New Testament. Where we preach Jesus as the prophets preach Jesus. Because life is not found, Christianity is not about a religious system or a bunch of rules or a kind of political stance. And it's important for us to remember that, isn't it? Very easy, again, in our culture to get these things conflated and mixed up. But Christianity is not ultimately about a religious system or a bunch of rules or even political opinion. It's not even just true facts and theological beliefs, although it's certainly not less than that. But Christianity is found. Life is all about Jesus. He is the one who kept the Old Testament law. He is the one who came to give life by dying in our place. So Jesus here is the offer of life. The offer is preached. But in verses 10 to 11, we then see that he is the offer that is so often rejected. So verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was created through him, and yet the world did not recognize him. He came to his own, to the Jewish people, and yet his own people did not receive him. And as we read through John, we're going to see an awful lot of people reject Jesus. As we live in the 21st century, we still see an awful lot of people reject Jesus. Why is that? If he is the life, if he is the light, why on earth do we reject him? Like, if you offer me something far less, like a Big Mac right now, I'm going to take it. So this point of life, why on earth would we not accept the point of life? And yet John would go on to tell us, particularly in chapter 3, that it's because we love the darkness more than the light. In a sense, we are blissfully unaware fools. We love our sins so much that we're not looking for a way out of it. And even when we're convinced of the facts of Jesus and the gospel, we don't practically live it out because we live for me, me, me. We've bought the lie that my way is actually the way to life. C.S. Lewis would say we settle for mud pies in a slum when we're offered a holiday at the beach. Or in our selfishness and stubbornness and pride, we reject the offer of prison rescue and instead choose the death sentence. Like, that's bonkers, right? Like, if you think of it like that, no one would do it. Why would you do that? And yet, day after day, we hear, like, they then reject the offer of life. But then, verses 12 to 13, John will say that there will be some who do receive him. Some who do believe in his name. They will be given the right to be children of God. Some will accept the offer of life. And they who accept, they will be adopted in God's family, his kingdom. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? People will go from rebels of the king to child of the king. People have been telling me to watch Star Wars for a long time, and I've never watched it. But this summer, I watched Star Wars for my boys. And so I can now say this is like Darth Vader going back to Anakin again. You get that? No? See, I didn't a wee while ago. Don't worry about it. But what we're going to do is if we see and read through John, we're going to see a bunch of people who were stuck in the dark, heading to death, find light and life in Christ. Right, some of our favorite stories in the Bible are that in John. Again, I grew up in Northern Ireland. My story, I grew up in the Brethren in Northern Ireland, and that I remember the most is John chapter 3 and Nicodemus. And the verse that is always the verse that comes to my head is that John 3:16. But what we had there was someone who was living a religious system in the dark who found the life of Christ. My favorite story in John is the woman at the well in chapter 4. Someone who is an outcast in society, you know, goes to the well at midday because no one else goes then. And yet here is this woman that no one else would go to or turn to or engage with, meets Christ, and knows the light of life. That happened then. And yet we know that still happens today as well, don't we? Like, we have seen in our life, if we know Jesus, the darkness, the spell, as we've come to see the light of Christ. And we can tell you story after story of how God is still doing this in Glasgow in the 21st century. And I'm sure I could talk to you and hear story after story of how Jesus is still shining the light into the darkness here in the 21st century. That's why we want people to come and hear about Jesus, isn't it? That's why we're praying that people would come and hear the gospel of Jesus, because Jesus is still the offer that will be accepted by his own, and they will come to know the light of life. And yet, our hope is not in people finding the light or returning to some form of religion. We know that because John would say, we're not just people born in the right family or the right tradition. We're not kind of Christians because of our culture, he would say, because of natural descent. And nor are we people who just happen to make the right decision. John would say, we're not born of the will of flesh or the will of man. But we know light and life if we are in Christ, because we are the people God has chosen to save. For when Jesus is preached as the offer of life, some will reject him in sinful flesh. But John says the Spirit of God will flick the switch, shine the light, so that God's people will accept the offer and find true life. That's why we pray, God, you save. That's why we sing, the Lord is my salvation. It's the message of John 1. It's the message of the whole Bible. So Jesus is the source of life. Jesus is the offer of life. And then finally here we see Jesus is the revelation of life. Verses 14 to 18. And these are some of the most crazy verses we could ever read. And yet if we've been about church often, they're probably kind of like a baby's cry. The first time you hear a baby's cry, it's great, isn't it? It's stunning. And then soon you kind of just get used to it. And you're like, don't want to hear that anymore. It's easy to lose the wonder of these verses. But here again, Jesus is called the Word who was made flesh. And he's called the Word because he's Jesus, he's God's self-revelation. He reveals God. You think about our words are both distinct from us, and yet they're the kind of embodiment of us. So if you think about hiring for a job, if you want to see what someone's like, you can look at someone that might tell you a bit. You can hear about something that might tell you something more. But you want to hear from that person. You want to hear their words. And so Jesus is the Word, and he is how God reveals himself. He is how we get to know the eternal and transcendent and holy God. But how? Well, again, think about hiring for a job. You can write down, you know, a CV. That's good. Good way to get to know a bit about them. We've got the written Word of God in the Bible. If you're applying for a job, you might send a reference. In a testimony, this is what this person's like, and we want to share testimonies of what Jesus is like and what he's done. That's good. But the best way is for God to show up in person, isn't it? And that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. The word there, I'm sure we know, is dwelt, is tabernacled. It's like a picture from the Old Testament, the tent of meeting where God's presence would come and dwell amongst his people. And John's saying that is what has happened now in Jesus, that the one true and holy and glorious God, the one that we can't get close to because of our sin, came near to us in Jesus. That means we don't need to say, well, I like to think of God like this, or well, what do you like to think of God as? That really doesn't matter. It matters what God is truly like, and we know that because we can read his word, and we can meet the living word, the Lord Jesus. And so three final things that he reveals about God here. First, Jesus reveals God's glory. Verses 14 to 15, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we observed his glory as the one and only Son from the Father. In Jesus, we see God's glory, his greatness, his majesty. We might say a steak is glorious, or a goal is glorious, or a sunset is glorious. And we mean it's captivating. It's great. It's the best. And yet God is most glorious. God is above and beyond absolutely anything we could even imagine. That's why John says that Jesus ranks ahead of me because he existed before me. And like a glorious sunset that's captivating, God's glory revealed in the Bible also is dangerous to get close to. Right, in the Old Testament, people would die if they saw God's glory. Moses asked to see it and could only see God's back. We have stories of people touching the ark of God and dying on the spot. And yet, John tells us that we can now observe and enjoy God's glory in the coming of his Son, the Lord Jesus. That is mind-blowing when you think about it. It's also very good news because it's God's glory that we crave most in life, even when we don't know it. A fine steak, a stunning goal, glorious sunset is but a moon that is trying to reflect the glory of God that just surpasses all else. Jesus reveals God's glory. And yet Jesus also reveals God's grace. Verse 16 to 17, we have all received grace upon grace from his fullness. The question when you hear this, isn't it, is then how there can sinners like us, people who love the dark, how can we get this light? How can we have this life? Then we deserve death. But we've made ourselves rebels to the king. The king should treat us like an enemy. We should be judged. Ultimately, we should be destroyed and punished forever in hell. How can we get this light? And the stunning answer is we get it because God is gracious. God gives us what we don't deserve, and he does it through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. That Jesus would live the life we should live but don't. He then died the death we deserve to die on the cross, the place of his people. And then he rose on the third day to conquer sin and death and the grave so that all who would turn to him despite all they deserve by grace would know eternal life in Christ. And now today, sweet, glorious, amazing grace overpours to rebels like us. And it's all because of Jesus. Jesus reveals God's glory. Jesus reveals God's grace. And then finally, he does that because Jesus reveals God. Verse 18 takes us right back to verse 1. Verse 18, no one has seen God. The one and only Son, who is himself God, as is at the Father's side, he has revealed him. Back to verse 1. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The truth is that Jesus is not merely the best of men or a kind of superhero taking his place to the stage. Jesus is God being revealed. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just a historical figure, a moral example, or a religious tradition maker. And though it's blasphemy to Jehovah's Witnesses or Muslims or Jews, and though it's bonkers to rationalists or secularists or the atheistic mind, Jesus is God, the only God. And he's here, and he's showing up, and he's saying, come believe in me and find life in my name. The fact is, we are made to know joy, not misery. We're made to know hope, not despair. We're made to know light, not dark, life, not death. For we are made to know intimately our God. And though sin wrecked that relationship and took us far from him, the darkness did not win. For Jesus, the light, shone brighter than the darkness. And God came in flesh in Jesus to wipe where we are. And even today still gives lost, hopeless sinners eternal life in him. That's Jesus, isn't it? Like, I feel like my inner rapper wants to come out. Like, that's Jesus, y'all. Like, that's what we're all about. He's the source. He's the offer. He's the revelation of life. He's the point of Christianity. He's the point of church. He is the way to life. And maybe we've forgotten that. Maybe we've made it about programs or about relationships or about any number of things which could be good, but they're not about him. And so as we refocus even today, let me ask two questions for us. First, what are we believing in? And secondly, what are we living for? Think about that for your life. What are you believing in? Not just in your head, but by how you live. What are you believing in? And so what are you living for? Perhaps you're not a Christian here this morning. Perhaps you're kind of buying the marketing of the world and you're trying hard to believe in yourself and so live for yourself. Maybe you've got your plans and your dreams and your goals. And maybe you really believe if I just fulfill them, then I'll be fulfilled in life. Maybe you think, with today's culture, if it makes me happy, it can't be that bad. And so sex, drugs, rock and roll, or money, family, stuff, that's what I'm living for. And so I'll do my churchy thing, maybe just go along to keep someone happy. But really, this is where I'm turning to. And maybe it's worked or is working still. And so you just write off John chapter 1 as more religious rules or a weak person's crutch. Or maybe you are a Christian. Maybe you're professing belief in Christ, and yet you're really struggling to make Christ the point of your life. Maybe you just can't kick that addiction. Maybe you just can't stay focused. Maybe the devil's lies always seem to distract. Maybe you've lost the wonder of the coming of Jesus. Maybe you're beginning to doubt it's true at all. Maybe you feel like a fake here this morning, or maybe the weight of life is too heavy, the pain of life is too much to bear, and it feels like the darkness just won't lift. Well, no matter where we're coming from this morning, the call of John chapter 1, it's the call of John chapter 20, 31, it's the call of the gospel. Come, believe in Jesus. And in believing in Jesus, you will find life. Life you'll find nowhere else. When you think life is pointless, believe Jesus is the creator. When you think everything is dark, believe Jesus is the light. When you're confused by religion, believe Jesus is the one we preach. When you feel like you're an enemy, believe Jesus can make you a son. When you're let down chasing worldly glory, believe Jesus is true glory revealed. And when you think you've blown it again, believe Jesus can save and keep even you, because he died and rose and now sends his Holy Spirit to reveal to us his amazing grace. It's Jesus that we're all about, isn't it? Dying Savior, risen Lord, returning King, the light in the darkness, our only hope. And so I want to encourage us all, after a long summer, in the midst of another busy year, let's get our eyes back on Jesus this day. And that's going to take time and effort. It's going to mean saying no to some other desires when they threaten to take the place of Christ. It's going to mean prioritizing both the place of church in our life and the mission of the church in our life. The New Testament tells us we can't love Jesus and yet not live that out, committed to life in the local church. But it means remembering above all that the point of church is the point of Christianity, is the point of life, the worship and glory of Jesus Christ. So John chapter 1, the theology of life in Jesus. Believe in yourself and you will ultimately die. But believe in Christ and you will truly live. For it's not about efforts or rules, because it's not about you. It's all about Jesus. And he came to you so you could know life forever in him. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I pray again that even in this time that your Spirit would be showing us all the ways we are living life and yet not making it about Jesus. Lord, show us we were just people that are words and without the action. Show us we were deceiving ourselves and living for me. And Lord, I do pray today as we gather together again as your people, you would captivate us by the glory and grace of Jesus. That we leave this place again, people captivated by him. And there's our people living to know him and to make him known. Because we ask it for Christ's sake.